You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. The theme today with Chris in for Carl is, when will we have a parade for the football team? Please? In our lifetime?
Well.
Before that meteor comes in 2032? It's not a planet killer. It's just going to hit a city. If you missed it yesterday, it was on that Guy Talk segment. It's going to freaking Carl out.
Yeah, Carl was very concerned that it was going to ruin whatever he had going on that day.
You think he's not sick, but he's at home building some sort of shelter?
It could be. And by the way, it's funny. Guy's like, what's wrong with Carl? He never tells me anything. I don't know. Presumably, that laryngitis, he's had some issues with his throat, so hopefully he's okay. He'll be doing his thing. But Chris was nice enough to jump in today. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. And we've been talking a lot about the Falcons and, you know, the usual discussion. How do we fix it? I think almost everybody out there in their car or work, listen online at odyssey.com, you want to see us go get the defense. Matter of fact, dedicate almost all your draft to defense. Didn't we do that last year?
Yeah. Kind of.
Just didn't get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, injuries notwithstanding, Ruk Arohoho played for 8 games. So I don't know what he is. I don't think that's enough necessarily because of how he was rotated in. He certainly, I know they like what they've seen. I heard the coaches talk about it. We didn't get to see Braylon Trice. I loved Braylon Trice's game. We mentioned that to D. Led. I said, man, I think Braylon Trice is coming off that knee injury from Washington, but he looked good. And then D goes, nah, Mike, he's just a dude. He's just a guy. So I hope that D's evaluation isn't accurate. This guy will pop.
Oh, my. Between him and Zach Harrison, 2 third-rounders, Mike.
Yep.
And by the way, we went all defense last year, except the most important one.
Right. But that, look, as I said, we cannot relive this. We will not rediscuss. It is what it is. You should have done it. Should have just picked Penix and just paid. You could have called to, you know, Jonathan Grenard, who went to the Vikings. You know, if Danielle Hunter was locked in to go into Houston, other guys who actually put big numbers up on edge rush. Unfortunately, at the end of the, you know, in the middle of part of the free season there, we said, ah, we'll go roll the dice with Judon, who was, you know, not happy in New England. And as Chris pointed out last hour, it didn't really pop. All right, if you really want to go, what? There is a mock draft now on NFL Network. With the 15th pick, the Falcons select edge rusher from Boston College, Donovan Ezeriakou.
Who?
Ezeriakou.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have to go do some deep dive on that.
Yeah.
Not watching, and based on the TV ratings, nobody watched much of the ACC, let alone Boston College this year, other than Georgia Tech's big games. So, yeah, that's one that you're, whoa, whoa, whoa. The reason I bring this up is they got Jalen Walker going to the Texans at 13. And then following the Falcons' draft history over the last 58 years, passing on Mikael Williams,
he goes all the way
to Green Bay.
Oh my God!
Who likes to draft Georgia players? Also, by the way,
another team which really has no aversion to Georgia Bulldogs. That would be the Green Bay Packers, who have been in the playoffs in the last 7 years.
Now I'm sure this cat from Boston College is a swell guy. But if you pass up on Mikael Williams and take this guy, and he doesn't have double-digit sacks as a rookie, Mike.
All right, and here's where it gets better. Now, again, don't kill the messenger, me being the messenger. We're having fun, guys. This is some tongue-in-cheek. Some of this, you guys, it goes right over. We're having fun today, guys. You know, you just talked about a parade in Philly that we're really jealous of. We want to have one. So Chad Reuter, we've had him on the show a few times. He's the staff and draft analyst for the NFL Network. So this is his concoction. Okay, so the guy we pick is an edge rusher from Boston College, and I'm probably butchering his name, but Donovan Ezra. Oh, it's good. It's guys, we haven't done the combine yet. So just relax. Don't open the window and jump out yet. Just let me explain. But when you read this review, Ezra Koo is not the tallest edge rusher at 6'2 and a quarter, but he has plus length, big arms, and can bend and spin around tackles and pressure the quarterback. Arnold Ebikadi can take another step in year four, and third-round pick Braylon Trice should return from a knee injury. Judon Lorenzo, of course, free agents. But he likes this guy from BC. We'll have to go look at him. But again, it's very falcony.
You know what I just heard in that? If. Should. Could. Would. No, I want the sure damn thing, Mike.
Now, here's where we get to the Packers at 23. Starks, we said that Malachi Starks would go to the Chargers. Now, we could use some safety help and corner help, too, but we want to go edge. With the 23rd pick, again, just early days, he says that Williams could certainly go earlier in the draft, as in to us.
Yes.
An exceptional NFL scouting combine workout, and most Georgia Bulldogs do that, just like Trayvon Walker, who he references, who shot all the way to number one with the Jaguars, right, back in the day.
Yep.
However, the Packers would undoubtedly love the powerful pass rusher if he was available. Talks about, you know, the things they've added, Karloftis, et cetera, that helped them out. But either way, Karloftis, George Rousseau, Jermaine Johnson, all guys who were picked in this range, but that would be a nice fit. Guys, if Michael Williams is there, I couldn't imagine us passing him at 15. No way, no how.
Oh, yeah? Can't you? Can't you?
All right, more on the NFL as we go on now to 4th and 1. All right, man. Some of the other things that are going to happen in this draft. Somebody, Chris, is going to fall in love with one of these quarterbacks, but some feel there's maybe only two quarterbacks worth drafting in the first round. And that would be Shedeur Sanders and, of course, Cam Ward from Miami.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's a big word for everybody out there, a precipitous drop-off after that in terms of sheer talent.
Right.
You have your Quinn Ewers of the world. You have
Jackson
Dart. Those guys are all project quarterbacks. Now, here's the thing. What if Tennessee gets out of number one?
That's the story. Apparently, the Tennessee GM yesterday had it in Sporting News. Apparently, at least throwing it out there. And it's early days. We're literally just less than a week after the Super Bowl. And Tennessee's already talking about trading down from the first pick. Because maybe they feel they can get something and they could still find how far down. I don't know. But Abdul Carter certainly looks like a top five pick. Shedeur Sanders, I don't know how they feel about him. Travis Hunter, I think Travis Hunter's going to go one or two in this draft.
I agree. And then here's the thing. Which one of the stopgap quarterbacks would the Titans go after? Because they're not going to run back Will Levis again, I wouldn't think, after the disastrous year he got being benched for Mason Rudolph. I don't think you come back from that. How about this one, Mike? ESPN Jets reporter Rich Cimini, who's been on the beat for about 30 years and is about as plugged in as anybody there in New York, made his prediction for who the New York Jets starting quarterback will be in 2025.
Who's going to be?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, stopgap for the Jets.
They think the Jets.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
Yeah, well, apparently.
Pound sand, Kirk.
Yeah, the Jets don't think you did either. And he predicts that the Falcons will release him without paying that $10 million, pay his full freight for 2025, and he'll go to New York.
Yep, and I think we will. I think, March 12th is when the NFL year begins for us? League year, as they call it. So the Jets, by the way, are picking 7th. And if you're not sold on any of these quarterbacks, it's a stopgap. The good news is, you're right. You wish, and all the fans out there, the audience, I get this every day and every week. Guys going, but you're not trading. No one has to do anything. Basically, we have to cut Cousins because no one's going to trade. We can sit here and what? And you think it'll be a bidding war for Kirk Cousins and for $1.5 million? I mean, how much of this do you think we're going to have it taken off a slice of the pie? You know?
And as we learned, a reportedly unhealthy Kirk Cousins as well. He's not even 100%.
I get the logic, guys. You're thinking we could trade, Kirk. Somebody will take some portion of his salary off our hands. Every cap expert we've had three on, have all said that's not going to happen. We're just going to dump him. At this point, it's toxic. You're not going to have him around the building. I get that. And, even though they said, I guess people out there, I'm not saying gullible, but some people hear the general manager, the coach say, we're happy to have Kirk as our backup. Well, what do you think? We're going to dump his ass like first period French?
No, and this was also before all this nonsense came out about the injuries.
And by the way, if you ever had French in the first period, it was really difficult. Because you had, I don't know if you drank coffee when you were in high school or junior high.
Yeah.
I had first period French. It was the worst. And your language classes for you, Warren?
Yeah, all my Spanish was in the afternoon.
Like, yeah, that's
the
what I'm
last
saying.
Class of the day, yeah.
Yeah. Miss Johnson was a knockout, but that was about the only good thing about having that class early. You know, we couldn't change it. You know.
Yeah, Oren would take his siesta and then go to Spanish.
And by the way, my mom, she taught languages, amongst other things, in high school, and just to be a pain in the butt. No, it's probably, you'll have an unfair advantage because I teach Spanish. They'll learn French. The most useless language on the planet, you know, other than, you know, being in Montreal.
Well, I was about to say,
or Latin, which isn't spoken,
If you want to take a trip to Canada, you'll be
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sound pretentious because, you know, I get that from time. Not as bad as steak, but when you are in France, it does. I do think that some of the French do get a bum rap because if you do make the effort to speak a little French, then they're really nice. And they're really fun people. It's just, Paris is just a lot of jerks. You get outside of there and they're just like us. It's just, there's a lot of like nitwits in Paris that are just snooty and, you know.
Saying that Paris is like Philly with an Eiffel Tower?
But I will say that even in Paris, we got along great. You know, it just, you make an effort. I was, bonjour, je suis Michel. It's un stupide American. I'm a dumb American. Oh. And they laugh, and then they speak their English. And you make the effort. That's all it takes.
Here's the one French phrase everybody needs to know if you're ever traveling to a country that speaks French. Où est la salle de bain? Where is the bathroom?
See, now, this is where my Spanish comes in. I don't know much Spanish, and I've gone to Costa Rica a million times and been down to Colombia, and we've been to Spain. The way you break the ice over there, Oren, is you ask the server, ¿Dónde está casa de pipí? And that's always, and that's kind of it.
And they're international, like, oh, yeah. I know what you're about, yes.
Some will roll their eyes, some people will laugh and have fun. Oh, the fun, silly American.
Now, a guy who may be traveling the world this offseason, Mike Travis.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kelsey right. went on his podcast today with his brother, who we just talked about with Rob Ellis of 94 WIP. He's going to take some time to make a decision and think about it and not rush to judgment after the painful loss in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I mean, there were some folks out there. Look, I get it. You take any athlete in any game, you find a photo, an angle that makes him look like he's out of shape. But they had some photos where, man, it did look like Travis was hitting some pie eating contests, because usually that dude looks like he's carved out of wood.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't think that he's going to go. Look, everybody gets emotional after the season ends, and you feel your body's worn down. Randy's talked about it. You know, Jamie Dukes used to talk about it here on our station. And then, you know, a few months go by. Okay. All right. Back to work. Where else? What am I going to get? A real job? No, man. I'm going to play some NFL and make millions of dollars.
Yeah, he still, we saw, and it was just the game before in the championship game that he had 100 yards. I mean, he obviously can still play. I mean, like you said, maybe he just rededicates himself a little bit this offseason, because as you get older, we know not only is it harder to stay in shape, but then the injuries start to mount because you're older and you're more fragile, and he's 32, 33 years old at this point, which is pretty old for a tight end. I don't think he goes out like that, though, Mike. If I had to bet a dollar to donut, I think he comes back next season.
Hey, man, I was talking about this last week. We were saying, unless there'll be some last-minute action on the Super Bowl, because it was a little light. I just saw this today on a Pro Football Talk. According to ESPN.com, they retweeted it. It's a record $22.1 million from the last Super Bowl. So a lot of folks are on the Chiefs.
Ooh. Okay.
Apparently, that's the most betting ever. So I was talking to a guy. Remember midweek I was saying, he said there was really slow action. So it ramped up on Thursday, Friday, and obviously through the weekend. So it's one of the biggest record weekend. It is the record weekend for Vegas. $22.1 million the gambling house has made on the Super Bowl.
Now, Mike, you'll be in Vegas this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Are you making your annual Falcons
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Because, yes, I do it every year. And it's something that Mike Missouri Bell, show me, Carl. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to bet a big amount of money, but, I mean, I'll look, because now you can get the odds. I'm sure the Falcons are something probably like anywhere from 50 to 60 to 1, right? We'll look that up right
now.
Yeah,
I believe it was 60 to 1.
Yeah. So $100 is $6,000. Worth a shot, right? A C note on that. If you want to give me $20, I'll put it on. I've always liked to have the ticket, and it was so funny. We're interviewing Mike Smith back. It was the week before the NFC Championship game with the 49ers, and I showed him the ticket. And Smitty's like, wow, I sure hope we can get that for you. Because that was going to be like $7,500 had they won that year. Yeah. Never happened, Zone.
No.
Carl and I were looking at 18.
Very pregnant pause right there,
18 grand. You've heard that, guys. If you're new to the show, welcome. Carl's off today. Chris is in. But Carl and I were going to make $9,000 each off of Super Bowl 51. Who blows it? I'm not going to say it. Hey, man, we'll come back. Change gears. We'll talk some hoops. Our Hawks insider, Caleb Johnson. Spending time over there at the Embry training facility. Talk about Trey and the maturity, saying all the right things, taking the invite to the Bay Area for the All-Star game, and what are they going to do against the Knicks tonight. It's coming up next on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, I'm going to talk to our buddy, Caleb Johnson, about the Hawks. Just real quick, to clarify, we were talking about odds on the Super Bowl right now that the season's over. The Falcons are 55-1 right now, so.
Yeah.
Well, $100 gets you $5,500.
I'm more talking about how low that is.
Well, I mean, look, just real quick, just to give you some perspective, the Cowboys are the same odds at 55-1. They're not really buying, I guess, Brian Schottenheimer is the OC in Sin City. Colts are 70-1. Steelers are 65-1 with that quarterback situation kind of in flux. So just to give you some where we are, where we're living. As you would imagine, the odds on favorites, Eagles 6-1, Chiefs 6.5-1, Ravens 6.5, Bills 7.5-1, Detroit 10-1.
Yeah, that sounds about right at the top. Us,
right.
us being perceived as well as the Brian Schottenheimer-led Cowboys?
Hey, you know, and by the way, Drunk Larry always makes these bets, and he always hits. And you know, the famous one is the year that Mickelson put, like, was it like 150,000 or three, some crazy number on the Ravens, the year they beat the Giants in the Super Bowl.
2000.
Yeah, it was nuts. But I would say, you want some good odds? Commanders are 24-1 right now.
I like that.
Packers are 20-1.
I like that, too.
So that's interesting. Just something I'm thinking out loud. Hey, man, right now, join us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Get the gambling out of the way. Speaking of gambling, Caleb, I used to love betting the over-under in the NBA All-Star game. I don't know how to approach this now with this new format.
Well, Mike, look, based on what you were talking about earlier, if you want to throw away $100, like, feel free. I take Venmo and Cash App. I'm just, you know, putting that out there.
But this is why whenever somebody from the Falcons, not naming names, sends me a nasty gram about something I've said on the radio, I go, I put my money where my mouth is.
Fair enough. That is very true. Now, All-Star game comparisons, though, it's funny. They've changed the format. So that there isn't that over under to play. It's they're playing to 40 points in all of these games. It is right. Supposed to be trying to keep them more competitive. Of course, I don't think it will get nearly as competitive. Like the closest that we will have got was that 2020 or 2021 when Kobe died, right. And they did the Elam ending.
Right.
They played to 24 and all of that sort of stuff. And, like, that was when everybody was playing as hard as they could, playing for Kobe. And since you don't have that, it's just you will get potentially more competitive just because you've now added, young rising stars to the mix. But it's going to be kind of the same old of guys that feel like they're a little bit too cool and don't want to get injured.
Caleb, when it comes to the Hawks, what has been the biggest difference over the three-game winning streak from what you've seen in terms of consistency?
It feels like they've been shooting the ball better. And it feels also like these new pieces, shockingly, when you're missing guys and, you know, you're having to have guys play out of rotation or in expanded roles, and they don't perform well in those roles. Shocker when after a trade deadline that you add more bench players. And sure, we know the impact that DeAndre Hunter was making on this team, but when you're able to spread out maybe his production across three different guys and you get the strong defense from a Terrence Mann, you get the three-point shooting that you want from a George Niang, and then you get the ball distributor and a guy who is not afraid to attack the rim and Caris LeVert, like, okay, you start to play better because you have more depth. You know, I think it can't be understated. I've seen it on social media talked about a few different times, but it often gets overlooked. Like the fact that you've played an entire season and you don't have your former first round pick in AJ Griffin because you had to trade him away because there was that whole situation. And then you've played a majority of your season now without another one of your first-round picks in Kobe Bufkin. Like, this is all depth pieces that help teams win. The Hawks haven't had a lot of depth this season, especially when they've been hit with injuries, as we've talked time and time again about Jalen Johnson, being a big piece of that. So it feels like them having depth and then just shooting the ball well, because they went through that 8-game losing streak. I mean, there was some insanely uncharacteristic poor shooting that this team had as a whole. That was one of those that Quinn Snyder would just come to the podium after the game, kind of throw his hands up and be like, we got good looks. They just didn't fall, and it feels like more of them have started to fall. And you've got a bit of a scrappy team when you add a couple of guys from some winning teams like the Clippers and the Cavs.
Do you have any idea what's going on with Clint Capella? He's been in street clothes. We thought initially, Caleb, they were just keeping him on ice, kind of like Bogey, because they were going to trade him. And then whether some guy got out about an ailment, but he's never been given some long-term injury designation. You have any clue?
So they were absolutely keeping him on ice, Mike. That was exactly what they were doing. It was so with Bogey, it was he wanted out. At least it kind of seems that way through some discussions behind the scenes. With Clint, it was they were kind of looking to move on from him in various deals. Those deals did not happen. And so then you kind of got to do the awkward, hey, we'd rather you be on our team than us trade you away for nothing. And so because he hadn't been playing for a certain amount of time, it seems like most likely the situation is with him is that there's like a ramp up period to getting him back to basketball fitness once again. At least that is my best guess. That is the out of the information I've been able to gather, that's the direction that this is headed. Is just he's got to get back basketball ready, which tonight would be the perfect opportunity for him to show back up, because obviously you've got no Larry Nance Jr. tonight after he had that weird knee injury whole situation that happened last game. So, you know, with you being low as far as centers and your backup being Dom Barlow, it would be great to have Clint Capela back out there, because that is their plan. That is what you know, that's what we were told when we spoke with Landry Fields last week, is the plan is for Clint to work his way back up, be back with the team for the rest of the way.
Caleb, when it comes to Trae Young, if any, how much pressure do you feel like there is to go out and perform in the All-Star game for however much run that he gets, because of how important this offseason is with the money that you're going to have and trying to bring in free agents and possibly trades?
You know, I think the pressure is far more on what's going to happen when the cameras aren't on, and those conversations that he's going to have with people, the relationships that he's going to work on, I would say. And like, and I hate to use a term like that, but obviously what we know is his play has been pretty great this season, especially with how he's distributed the ball, and it hasn't been respected. Like, he still keeps kind of getting some of the same, you know, monikers attached to his name, unfortunately, and it's, you know, far more often he's looked at as trade bait rather than being an all-star, and I think he's played clearly up to that all-star level. So this whole experience for him, like, he even came out on social media and said it, and he talked with Lauren Williams of the AJC about how this is bigger than just him, because he's representing the Hawks. And, you know, getting to add that, hey, he's a four-time All-Star is something, you know, kind of nice to be a part of course. So I don't think the game itself really is going to do all that much, but certainly the conversations that he's having behind the scenes and just being like, hey, this is not the same guy that you keep wanting to put on him the last, you know, 2-3 years.
I'm just excited to see how Trae will interact with Joker, with Wemby, because remember Charles Barkley basically went all international, man. It's kind of cool because, you know, Joker, SGA, technically international Canada, Pascal Siakam, Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns. So that's kind of neat. I mean, it is kind of cool to see how, so not all everybody's international, how this team will kind of play out. And I just felt that, you know, Trae, the spotlight, everything you just talked about, the brand, building the brand. So glad, even though I would have made, there's a part of me that would have said, ah, screw you guys, but better that he doesn't alienate further, you know, ostracization. Is that a word from coaches next year who don't vote for him for the All-Star team?
Oh, I was on the same boat as you, Mike. Like, I was like, oh, I absolutely would have hung up that phone call, you know, getting that from Adam Silver. And I also find it interesting, they did this whole, they drafted all of the All-Stars, but then when they put the graphic out for the league, like, it's Chuck's global stars and it's Shaq's OGs and Kenny's young stars. Like, they had the names already attached to them because they clearly wanted it to play out in this way. So with, you know, Trae getting to play with the international guys, I think it's another opportunity for him to kind of build those relationships. He's a big, you know, really close with Donovan Mitchell, so that kind of helps out as well. But it never hurts to win if they're able to, you know, kind of advance and end up taking the All-Star Game Championship, I think, is they're going to end up calling this whole thing. It's always a good thing to get that. And it, what's more important is for Trae to get that national stage recognition that gets associated back with the Hawks. It's just as important for Zachary Risacher, for him to do well with the Rising Stars Challenge. And then well, he's going to be a part of the Skills Challenge too, being a part of with him and Alex being the rookie. So it's really them representing the Hawks, so the Hawks get taken more seriously, I think is important.
Like it, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to do. You know, like I said, in the second half, I got to be honest, and I'll tip my cap to guys who know more about Terrence Mann and Caris LeVert. But those guys, as you pointed out earlier, they've kind of fit well. It's just a shame we don't have, you know, DeAndre Hunter here and a healthy Jalen Johnson, because with that bench, that's all of a sudden, man, that's the more complete teams you've had, you know, going back to like 2021.
Yeah, it's all of those contract negotiations for the future that, you know, teams being afraid of those aprons. Landry Fields talked about it when I asked him about it, you know, and the complicated situations when it comes to those aprons, when it comes to the luxury tax situation, because they weren't going all in this year to try to win a championship. There's no reason to go over the luxury tax, as we obviously, you know, talk about every year. But because of that, you get out of the contract of DeAndre Hunter, and I think you get some pieces that will help you because, like I said, they're spread out across three players instead of one. And then you do more of that planning for the future that you know, fans don't like to talk about, but it's the reality of where you're at right now.
Now, just look, you've got a $45 to $50 million marker. Can we get an all-star in here? That's the big question we're asking everybody. All right, Caleb, thanks for the work, man. We will talk to you soon.
Sounds good, guys.
That's Caleb Johnson. Guys, nothing says Valentine's Day like hanging out at Twin Peaks, where girls in lumberjack outfits want to meet you, and sexy Valentine's Day outfits as well. Andy Rende going to be there Friday, guys. You're going to be Twin Peaks in Buckhead, getting ready for the All-Star Game, Daytona 500, College Hoops Weekend. That's Friday, Twin Peaks in Buckhead with Andy Rende on 92.9 The Game. Since Chris is in for Carl today, Oren provides a very unique Yeah Man, No Man coming up next. Carl's off today, and you know, before we knew each other on the air, we knew each other, you know, hanging out at like Super Bowls. I met Carl in 2001. We always go back, and I always wanted to work with Carl. And then 92.9 The Game launches, and I was at a station that was kind of in its death throes at the time. And eventually, I got to work with my buddy, and we have a blast. But we had a lot of great times at fights. I'd run into Carl when he was working in Houston. We'd always have a good time. So yes, we're big fans. So the theme has kind of morphed into gambling today, because normally I would already be mentally in Vegas, because the vacation, little four-day getaway wrapped around President's Day, starts for us tomorrow. But Carl's off today. He's sick, so Chris is in. So I looked it up. FanDuel's got the Falcons at 55-1. The MGM online and betting home houses, they've got it at 60-1. So $100 would get you $6,000. And it's funny, I put it out there on Mike Bell ATL. What's your Twitter handle, guys, want to talk to you?
Yeah, it's C Thomas Radio.
And we were just kind of going back and forth, and guys said, yeah, man, take the bet. The year that we had the crazy odds, and I can't remember what the number was. It might have been like something similar. It was coming off the 15th season when we were 500. And that's the year where Dan Quinn had his first of his five-game losing streaks, which kind of became a thing later in his career. But then before, that was before we got Alex Mack. And then before the draft. And, of course, that 16 draft. That's why I said it last year. I think Chris touched on it earlier, guys. We were talking about the Falcons. If you look at this year's draft, the old joke that Carl and I used to do was Arthur Blank talking to then Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn. Listen here, you knuckleheads. I need three starters, you nitwits. I need three starters on defense. And this year we really do.
Yeah.
We really do.
In the secondary.
But unfortunately,
alone,
you don't have a third-round pick.
No.
So you're hoping your fourth-rounder hits. But we'll continue to talk about the draft strategy and get some more Vegas tales for you coming up in Guy Talk. Right now, though, it's time for some Yeah Man, No Man. No, Chris is next to me here in studio, so Oren's got it. Oren, by the way, how is the house search going? Do you want to put this game out there on the radio? Because somebody might have a home that could be right in your wheelhouse.
Hey, looking for a ranch style, 2,500 mm-hmm. square feet, maybe a finished basement.
Good school district?
Good school district. I got money to spend, got good cash in hand, so right. Hey, yeah.
But you know, there's a house for sale in my neighborhood.
Yeah, you told me. It has a giant slide, which intrigues me, Mike.
Yes, friends of ours, they're putting their house, and they have a giant slide, and for their kids back in the day, that basically goes from the top floor of the house, and it goes outside and swings back inside and down to the basement.
That's awesome.
Which is kind of, they had a child that was dealing
with itself.
Now, at the time, they had a child, unfortunately, who passed, but was dealing with a lot of health issues, so they did something fun for him. to be able to enjoy, and that was something that made the house unique. But yeah, and we've got tremendous schools in Coweta.
There it is.
Now, after this, I think I may get a piece of the action on this. I get a finder's fee.
Little commission there.
But
for
no, it's a stressful time, though, because you're looking to, you know, to own, not rent.
Yeah, looking to own. It's just you want to make sure that you check off enough of your boxes of things that you want more than things that, you know, well, are we willing to compromise on this? Can we give this up? I know it's a thing that we want, but we got more of these pluses than we do minuses right now. So kind of narrowed it down a little bit, narrowed down the area. Hopefully in the next week or so, knock on this desk up here, we'll put an offer in for someplace, and then, yeah, we'll get into March, and then hopefully the contract will go through, and then April we'll be moving in, and then may have new baby.
Did you – I was just about to say, did you plan on having all this going on at the same – that's quite a lot on
so,
your plate, sir.
As you know, the baby process, so to speak, you know, it's a monthly thing. So our process started a few months before we had a successful positive test.
Okay.
So we were hoping for it to kind of go into maybe a little bit earlier than when we had. But we were in the window of like, hey, if we do it now, no pun intended, excuse me. Mm. If that happens now, we're going to hit April for moving. And then it's going to be May when we have to like, you know, when it happens. So it's going to be kind of a tight window.
I speak for Carl that we're all going to be sick that week. No one's helping you move. On that note, what do you have for a Yeah Man Nomad?
I'm a big vinyl head. Got a lot of them at the house. I like collecting them, like buying them. The sound is a lot better. Sound quality is a lot better. I have a cool record player, a nice little stereo system. Every year, there's a couple days called Record Store Days. The big one's in April where they have all these cool limited releases. Reissues of albums come out before, live albums and things like that. Every once in a while, though, you get these sort of concept albums. A few years ago, Foo Fighters did a Bee Gees cover album, which I have, which is stellar.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
This year, though, Post Malone, a few years back during a pandemic show with Travis Barker, did a whole bunch of Nirvana covers. So Post Malone is going to release an album of Nirvana covers. I have a sample of what that live show sounded like, guys. And based on this live sample right here, are you Yeah Man, No Man, a full album of Post Malone and Travis Barker Nirvana covers?
I mean, obviously, you know, Kurt Cobain wailed it, and Post Malone's kind of taken it to another area.
He's kind of stressed it a little bit, yeah. The voice a little bit.
I'd rather hear
like
it. I'd rather see him slow it down and actually do it Post Malone style.
That's almost
like you're just doing a straight Nirvana cover.
Trying to be Kurt, but you can't have that voice like Kurt had that
That's
voice.
That's my favorite Nirvana song, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kristen.
No, because Carl, you know, Carl always, you know, I'm locked into my music, and I don't, you know, I fear change. I knew who Post Malone was, but I didn't really know his catalog. And then he played the opening for the Miami Grand Prix. They had him basically perform, did like an hour and a half set. It was great. The crowd was going bananas. It was really cool. He's definitely a unique talent. But yeah, if you're going to do it, Post Malone it.
Yeah, do it.
That's
your
like
way?
A straight cover, right?
Yeah, if the whole album's going to be like that, like I don't need, if that is smells like Teen Spirit and he's wailing like that, I don't know if that's going to sound great.
It doesn't sound like it's effortless. It sounds like he's trying a bit too hard.
Like he's
going to
pop
that,
a blood vessel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think I'll pass on that, but I like the idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll see when the album comes out. You know, hey, something else happens with that. But also today, guys, keeping in the rock and roll theme, the latest nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been announced. The nominees. It's a pretty hearty list here, guys. We'll start with a couple with local flair here. The Black Crowes. Shout out to the Black Crowes getting a
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Richard Chris, man, getting the nod.
Outkast.
Yes, a Ram.
Getting a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nod. And then we have the other big names here. Joe Cocker, great name. Billy Idol. Cyndi Lauper. Oasis, the Gallaghers. Good old Gallagher Brothers.
Wow, it's been 25 years already.
They are touring this coming summer.
Is it 20 years you got to be in? Because they broke in 94.
It's 25 years. 25
okay.
years.
Okay.
But yeah, they're touring this summer. They patched things up and they're going to play nice and go tour. Fish, Soundgarden, and the White Stripes. So yeah, some
Joy
of those
Division.
Names.
Is Joy Division in there too? I think I saw from
Joy Division, New Order. Yes,
yeah,
in
see,
as well, yes.
I'm a big 80. So Joy Division, New Order influenced hundreds of bands on both sides of the Atlantic. I mean, Soundgarden. I think I put Soundgarden over Nirvana.
Okay,
that's another one. Chris Cornell. I get mad when I think about Chris Cornell taking his own life. Like he's dealing with his demons and everything. But that band was unbelievable. And they could have packed stadiums or arenas, I should say, the rest of their days with that catalog.
For my generation growing up, he was the lead singer of Audioslave.
Right,
and that's where
that's
I
right.
Just,
yeah,
that's where
great,
I discovered.
Great band,
and Michael Mann used to use that on a bunch of his movies. Using it for the Miami Vice. soundtrack. So yeah, Outkast. I know before we get into the angry emails from the angry rock and rollers, it's like the music hall of fame. It's the rock and roll hall of fame, but it is hip hop. It's R&B. It's everything. And Outkast certainly has been influential.
I think Mariah Carey's also on
Mariah Carey is also on that list.
That's
as well.
What
that one I didn't list because that one is a little sort of like.
Pop, that's pop music. And I mean, Outkast can play rock music and does. And they've spun it. And you know the musicianship is there. And again, the influences we're talking about and what they pull from to create their own unique sound. But yeah, what the hell is Mariah Carey doing? That's why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is kind of, some would say, going off the rails a long time ago. And a lot of bands that should have been in sooner have to wait and twist their heels for years. But yeah, I mean, the Crows, are they first ballot Hall of Famers? They had four of the best rock records of the 90s.
Appearing on the ballot for the first time, Bad Company, yeah. The Black Crows.
And so how's Bad Company?
Chubby Checker.
Bad Company, that's a sound that has been imitated, picked up. You know, Bad Company, Chris, you're familiar with Bad Company?
Yeah.
Feel like making love.
No. All Right Now is free, but that's Paul Rogers. See, that's why. How are you just getting nominated?
And how about Billy Idol? He's not in yet.
Yeah.
No.
And Billy was also, he was also part of Gen X, the punk band, back in the day in England. All right. But how many do I get to pick?
Let's say five.
All right, I'll definitely go Joy Division, New Order, Outkast. I'll go with Soundgarden.
Okay.
And then Bad Company, did I mention?
Yeah, Bad Company's, yeah.
All right. Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. All right, that's interesting, though. That's a much wider net than they had cast last year for the ballot.
There you go. This was a very interesting story because you guys remember the last World Cup in good old Qatar, Qatar.
Nobody was happy about that.
Nobody was happy.
You jacked up everybody's soccer season.
You did. Late in the year, the whole process of getting things built was drama and a mess to begin with.
According to certain reports, slave labor.
And then when people got out there.
And I don't think you get a bathroom break if it's slave labor.
No, I probably don't. And then when people got out there, they realized that they couldn't drink within, Qatar city limits or country limits. So they had to, venture way, way out to find, but no.
You had to be on a yacht. You'd have to be on a cruise ship drink, Chris, during that Qatar. Sponsored by Budweiser.
Well,
yeah, that's right.
The 2034 World Cup is coming to good old Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And Prince Khalid bin Bandar is the ambassador to the UK. Also, he's the guy talking about the World Cup for Saudi Arabia. He was doing an interview with British media. And the question about, hey, are people going to be able to drink in Saudi Arabia in 2034? And this was his answer.
Yeah. It's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Culture for someone else.
Okay.
And I mean, really, you can't live without a drink?
Again, the Irish and the Brits, this is a major thing. Because no, the answer is no. And the same go for the Dutch and the Germans and the freaking world. That's why we don't want it there in Saudi Arabia. In Dubai, in the UAE, in the Emirates, Chris, they've got these zones, Western zones, where you can drink and do all those things that you want to do.
Yeah, and just from a financial standpoint, Mike, how much money are you losing?
It doesn't matter to them. That's everything they do is about washing, sports washing, all the bad things that happen over there.
Well, yeah. I'm just
it's
surprised.
Just a write-off for them, yeah.
But I'm just surprised in general that those places would even be considered at
because,
this point.
But that's why Formula One has all those races. These guys have the money. Nobody else can spend the $40, $30 million to sanction a race. Yes, and these guys
pockets
can just,
are too deep.
Literally, man. It's pocket money for those guys. That's why they've got a Formula One race in Riyadh. Yeah. I'm with you. It's just, these are the dudes. The guy that runs F1 is from that part of the world because of so much juice that they've got right now. So that's a buzzkill, man. That's a major buzzkill for most.
Literally.
Most nations would enjoy tipping one back.
The restaurants. Nowhere. You can't drink anywhere in the country.
Right.
Not anywhere at all.
Becky and I've always wanted to go to the race in Abu Dhabi for Formula. We're big Formula One heads, but it always late in the, plus, it's a day and travel and a day back. But that's a place I've always liked to go. I've got Irish cousins because, you know, there's a bit of a stigma for us going to the Middle East for tourism. But in Europe, it's no big deal. Everybody's got houses over there. But they say it's just unbelievable. And they just have these amazing party districts. And then you go to the mall and everybody's covered up.
Well, right. Yeah. And then it basically becomes you're looking at the situation from the micro inside the macro. You get right. The little pocket inside the big picture thing. But the big picture thing is what Oren is just talking about.
Yeah, they've got the money to throw these things. That's just like why are the Olympics always in Russia or China? Because they've got the coin to do it, and they're willing to kind of BS with their image and all their human rights violations and everything else gets whitewashed every time they host one of those events.
Well, Russia, that would never be an issue.
Not anymore. Yeah, that one, you're not going to see the Olympics anytime soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's your geopolitical look at sports here. Look at it, very thoughtful version.
Very eclectic there. You kind of went around there, guys.
Yeah, man. By the way, guy goes to me, goes, what do you mean, Joy Division, New Order? Hey, here's Post Malone. Blue Monday is the greatest selling 12-inch single in the history of the planet. I mean, as far as a dance single, it still resonates today amongst other tunes. They had a great sound. I'm a big New Order guy. I'll fight you over New Order.
Oh, I agree.
You know? See, Chris, I do like some oots.
It only took 4 years to get it out of you, Mike.
A couple of guys on the text line. It sounds like Post Malone is trying to pass a deuce, one guy just texted.
Kind of does.
Yeah, bring it down a notch there. Dude, just use people like your style. Fit the song to your style. Don't try to sound like a Kurt Cobain doing a bad karaoke. I don't know, man. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Dogs. What did Mark Schlereth have to say about how the Eagles have bulldogged up their defense?
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.